Pagan Coffee Talk. If you enjoy our content, please consider donating and following our socials. Now, here are your hosts, Lady Alba and Lord Knight.
Okay. So this I love. What is this topic? Lord Knight, folk magic. Get off my front porch. What is this? I love this. We're going to talk about this.
Okay. Back in the day, me and Lord Oswin had a friend named Dacoma.
Okay.
Who used to work in one of the voodoo stores in New Orleans. One of the offbeat stores.
Okay.
You with me?
Yep.
So he was sitting there one night working with some substances. All right. And it was near the time for the store to close. This kid runs in saying he's cursed and blah, blah, blah. Being young and in the 90s, we know what kind of state we're talking about.
Right.
Dacoma reaches up, grabs a bag, goes, here, go burn this. You'll be fine.
Okay.
They go out, party, to the point where they go straight back to the store and open it back up the next morning.
Ooh, okay.
In walks this kid with matted hair smelling like rotten eggs.
Oh, no.
Dacoma had given him sulfur.
Sulfur.
He piled himself into a closet and burnt this stuff all night.
Oh, no.
He looks at Dacoma and goes, thank you. That's all I wanted to come back and say. Thank you. You helped so much. And turns around and leaves.
Holy moly.
Are you going to tell me this is the only time any witch ever freaking did this? And then you got these folklore people not wanting to deal with the subject of, are you sure it wasn't just somebody pissing somebody else off? And it got stuck. I mean, I know some messed up local folklore that requires you to boil a cat alive.
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff to dedicate yourself to witchcraft.
Okay.
Which nobody's going to practice or do.
But okay.
My point
but
is.
Hold on. Let me see if I'm understanding everything you're saying here. Are you talking about how a lot of folklore magic was created specifically to make people feel better when nothing was wrong to begin with?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we all know that one person. I need a nerp.
Europeans have been obsessed with the evil eye for so long. And it feels like to me the evil eye seems cyclical. Like every so many years, it kind of pops back up and becomes fashionable again. But yes, I mean, what is it really? It's a fear. It's a boogeyman.
Right.
It's an adult boogeyman. And it's funny because all cultures do it.
Yes.
All traditions do it, right? Most commonly, we hear people blame the devil.
Right.
But there's an irony. In the Christian faiths, it seems like you blame the devil. You go pray a lot because you have to counter those effects. But there's no physical, tangible
thing.
No, nothing. There's nothing. No, how do I get rid of him?
Right.
Then walks in all the pagan faiths.
Right.
Be it voodoo, be it Santeria, be it, I mean, and I'm talking about the ones that are closely tied to Christianity too,
right,
where there's a lot of crossover. And what happens? It becomes more of a physical act. Burn this thing, bury this thing, eat this thing, do this thing.
Right.
To rid yourself.
Right. Mm. And again, witch, old, cranky, arthritis. This is the 15th person that's came to me for a freaking love spell. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go down here and blah, blah, and some complicated thing. I will never hear from anybody else again.
Hysterical.
I want to be left alone.
Hysterical.
Or I want the one person who come back goes, I did exactly what you told me to do. How do I learn how to do more?
Right.
That person goes, oh, now, darling, now you coming with me.
You know.
So again, how do we separate this behavior from folklore?
Well, I'm going to try to pull it up here because this is really funny. There is a group in Charlotte called Charlotte Witches. It's a Facebook group. And This is so funny that you say that, because every now and then somebody pops up and goes, I need a love spell. Who can give me a love spell? And it's like, it's crickets. Nobody replies. Nobody engages that individual. Or if they do, right, it's very funny. It's, you can tell it's somebody who's new and way too enthusiastic.
Okay.
To try to be helpful, you know?
Uh-huh.
So one woman, you know, kind of replied back, I sell them in my shop under spell kits. Okay, that's interesting. another person said, this is great. This was the answer that ended the conversation.
Okay.
Albeit it was a very short conversation to begin with. The only love spell I know that works is one done in yourself for yourself. Love yourself. Then others will love you. You will be open to love. Magic cannot remove free will of another. And I went, touché. Golf clap for you, Audrey, whoever you are on this Charlotte Witches group. I was like, yes, finally, finally. And what I loved about it was, and I kind of do feel bad, right? Because the few people that popped up prior and were like, oh, I sell them, or oh, you can buy them, or go to this shop. She just shut that shit down. Mm-hmm. She, without saying it, she basically said, your love spells are bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing. But you're right. So, okay, let's break it down. Folk magic has a multitude of components. One aspect of folk magic is exactly what you have identified.
Right.
Get off my lawn.
Yes.
Here, I'm giving you this to placate you and to get you to go away. And look, I think if you're in craft, you have met somebody who is obsessed with a problem or an issue or a thing, and they just won't let it go. The other, right, there is an element of folk magic that was to make money.
Yes.
And considering the times and considering the way those people lived and with the means that they had, yeah.
They did what they had to.
They absolutely did what they had to. And
not,
I think,
not holding no shame there.
No. And I think in many cases, it really was, you know, the growing and selling of certain herbs, the cultivation of certain, you know, salves, whatever it was. It was not, the majority of it was realistic.
Right.
You do get into the charlatan category, of course, but a lot of that is proven to be more modern. The third area of folk magic is really this. It's not a religion per se.
No.
But it is a spiritual practice that is either enhanced by a particular religion or that is sort of a, I don't know, an addendum to it, a sidebar.
I mean, in Christianity, the only thing I can see this being would be the Holy Grail.
Oh, no, there's a few of them. There's a few of these kinds of things in Christianity. So one is when you bury the statue on your lawn. Like if you're trying to sell your home, some people use the Virgin Mary and some people use, I think, St. Jude. Maybe it's either St. Jude or St. Anthony. And you bury the priest. Yeah, no, I swear to God, not the priest, the saint.
The saint.
You bury the saint statue. Okay. Upside down.
What?
Yes, you bury it upside down in your lawn and it's supposed to help you sell your home. Now, once it sells, you have to unearth the statue and take it with you. Okay?
All right.
And another component of that is whether you bury it facing you or facing away from you. So meaning, if you want to move, you face it away from you towards the future. If you're trying to keep your home,
right?
Yeah, or like avoid foreclosure, you face it toward you. Yes, that's folk magic.
See?
I mean, it exists. There are many components of it in the Christian faiths. People just kind of forget about them or don't really
talk about it.
Yeah. As a kid, I always thought like Palm Sunday right before Easter. I was like, that is pagan as crap. Are you kidding me? You would get the palm fronds from the church and then you're bringing them home and your dad is sitting there cursing liberally while he crafts them into little crosses that his dad showed him how to make. Oh yeah, this is a whole thing. You know, come on, Ash Wednesday. Yeah, come here, little kitties. Let me put some charcoal on your forehead and a perfect little cross.
Excuse me, Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
Hell brimstone. That was, yeah. That was every Sunday.
Yeah. So I do think there is a ton of folklore that is connected. But what is the practice meant for? Right, what's the point? To amplify? To concentrate? To focus.
To relieve stress.
To relieve stress.
In the community.
Mm-hmm. Or in an individual.
Yes.
I have found over the years that a lot of folk magic is uncrossing spells. It's how to reveal what the problem actually is.
So we can fix it.
Yes.
Funny how that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they knew something we didn't.
I know. Yeah, uncrossings or untying spells, unknotting, whatever you want to call them, they're all kind of the same thing. And then, of course, there was the hexing component. So-and-so stole my chicken, and now I'm mad, and I know they took my chicken, and they won't admit that they took my chicken. So, yeah, we're gonna put a hex on them until a chicken is returned.
Unfortunately, in the South, if it got to the, like, you're sleeping with my husband, there were guns involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, but there's a lot of that, again, in a lot of places. The spitting on the ground, you know, I always found that to be a fascinating one. Oh, man. But folk magic, that's what's funny. I think not only is it in danger of being lost.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it. Many modern witches have started to take folk magic too literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had a meaning at the time. It had something relevant at the time. It's not necessarily applicable anymore.
With the way folklore and folk magic sort of set up, it's so easy to manipulate it to fit your values.
Yeah.
And get. But we'll just ignore this, and I don't like that.
Well, but also, it's the misnomer. It's not a religion, and too many modern witches are trying to take elements of folklore and say, oh, this is the way it was done. This is what our ancestors did. That's not, like anthropologically, that's not always accurate.
Again, the DNA trail does not always match up.
Mm-mm.
And again, if you, I'm sorry, you're from up north, I'm from down south. If me and you were to get married, I'm not going to forget my southern ways.
Of course, of course.
So our child would have a mixture of
yes,
the two.
Yes, there's always, but that creates dilution. There's new ideas introduced. I mean, look, I thought it was adorable. I was watching something on TV the other day where in the show, a black couple got married and they jumped the broom.
Oh.
And I was so excited. I was like, holy crap. They literally jumped. And my daughter was like, I don't, what? And I'm like, that's an old African-American folklore that goes back pre-slavery. And I'm like, I don't even know the roots of it because it's not my culture, but that's really cool that they acknowledge that people are still doing that.
Well, that's like doing that special knot for the during the weddings that they wrap that. When you pull your hands apart, it does the infinity knot.
Yes. Yes. There's that one. With weddings, there's all kinds of crap. When in the Jewish services, when they break the glass.
Yes.
There's so many at that. But that to me, that's all folk magic.
What's the deal with the breaking the glass? After the, is it a Viking? Is it a Russian? Mm-mm, I'm not sure. But what was the point of it?
I don't remember. Let's look it up. Why not? Let's have a live lesson. Why do you break glass at a Jewish wedding?
No, no, no. I know. I'm just meaning when they take the drink and go. Pff.
Oh.
What?
Well, there's a few different things here. Oh. One says the breaking of the glass symbolizes the fall of the Temple of Jerusalem, which was the beginning of the Jews,
right,
you know, 40 years in the desert and all of that. Another says, so again, yeah, this is pure folklore. Some Jews believed breaking the glass was used to keep demons away. And then the one that I think from the looks of it is probably the most related to modern service. Many Jewish traditions, plural, love that. They're acknowledging it's not all the same. The breaking of the glass represents that you are acknowledging the bitterness or hardships that are inevitable in any life. So you've already recognized the sweetness and happiness of life in the wedding ceremony itself. So basically what you're saying is we can overcome this.
Yes.
We can smash through
right.
whatever obstacle. But yes, it's there's a lot of different folklore to this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. There is a podcast that I've been following. I was telling you about this. I do want to talk about her because she's pretty great. So it's called Angela's Symposium.
Yes.
And you find it everywhere.
Oh, this is the Italian girl.
Yes. But, so she's brilliant. So
yes.
Angela Pucca, she's a PhD. She has a doctorate.
Yes.
And her entire podcast is dedicated to the academic study of witchcraft, paganism, folk magic, and the like. And she takes a very intellectual standpoint. She does often, you know, give peeks into the fact that she might be a practitioner, but that's not the focus. The focus is on what is accurate, what is anthropologically correct, what is academically correct. And so she interviews a lot of different people from different faiths. Well, one of the topics of discussion that she brings up a lot, because yes, she is Italian, is Strega.
Right.
And basically how Strega, as we think of it in this country and as it has been defined by Raven Grimassi, is bullshit. It doesn't exist. It never existed in Italy. There is no unified religion or tradition in Italy called Strega or Stregeria. Nobody knows what that is. My own mother, when I asked her about this years and years ago, when Strega was becoming popular, she was like, technically the word is like what we would use for someone in the circus. Like magic, like a magician
right.
magic, not like what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, on the podcast before, I've distracted that your main fight was always Strega.
Yeah, but it is in the sense that I have simply taken from my own family, my own heritage,
right.
my own relatives who are still in Italy, right, and pieced together different things. I call it Strega because that's the name people know.
Right.
But is it Raven Grimassi's Strega? No. Because truthfully, and this is the problem, he's a fraud. Like, the man created and built a religion that was never there by expanding off of Leland's work, which was always in question as well, you know, the Aradia.
Right.
And he made up a form of witchcraft. Now, if that's what you practice and it works for you and you believe it, fine. That's cool. But just know its origins are not accurate. For him to say that it is the defining, whatever you want to call it, folk right. magic of Italy is pure crap. And she exposes this quite often. But that's really the key, is that it's a country where you have a lot of folk magic in little pockets. And is some of it similar? Sure. People move. They don't stay in the same place, you know?
Kind of like Celtic mythology.
Yes, it's exactly. On that.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of just all over the place.
But look, it's not any different than if you've been to a lot of covens, if you've been to a lot of rituals, you'll always go, well, it sort of the same. It's similar. I mean, it's not what we do.
I'm not
right. I kind of get what's going on here, but it is different. It's exactly the same as that.
You know, I'm not going to go out into the parking lot and douse myself in gas and set myself on fire, but it's weird, but okay.
It's like recipes, right? It's the same thing. Not everybody makes the same recipe the same way. There's variations, and that's ultimately what most folk magic is. So to say that it is accurate or the way or no, we can't do that.
Well, see, I understand this because everybody knows I'm Southern. I one day, Lord Oswin loves my mother's potato salad.
Okay.
All right. Loves it to death. So I called her up and I was like, can I get the recipe for the potato salad?
I'm actually going to make you laugh real quick. I'm going to sidebar you for 1 second. Lady Santana.
Oh, God.
Tasted that potato salad. And I thought she was going to levitate. That woman, she was so enamored with your mother's potatoes. It was the funniest goddamn thing. You made her so happy with potato salad. And I remember just it, I don't know. It warmed my heart that something so simple still, right? After everything that woman has seen and done and her place in craft, that made her that happy.
That happy.
So, yeah. Anyway,
so.
So you got mom's potato salad recipe.
I got a recipe and Lord Oswin prints it up, walks her to the kitchen. This is not a recipe. What are you talking about? Look, your mom sent this for the potato salad. I looked at it. I said, okay, yeah, that looks about right.
Uh-oh.
There's no measurements. This is a list of ingredients. Yes, that's it. Just get me the ingredients.
Yep. And it's just to taste.
It's to...
Yes. Just whatever you
That's
prefer.
Folk magic.
Yes.
You yes. I learned it from my mother. She walked me through. I already... Mm-hmm. And it drove him up the wall. It was just like, how do you turn this into...
Folk magic is the literal opposite of esoteric high magic.
Thank you.
Yes. It's chaotic. It follows very few rules.
If any.
Yeah. It is not linear. And technically, I mean, if we want to really like go there, it's wrong. It's, you know what I mean when I say that? It breaks the rules that are supposed to apply.
When you're told to pee into an iron pot so you can drink it later, you got questions.
That's what I mean. It definitely doesn't always explain itself. I think you and I had this discussion once, and I remember you saying esoteric magic is sometimes like taking a highway, and folk magic is like taking the back roads.
Yes.
You're still going to get there.
It just might take you a while.
Might take a while. Might be a little bit more scenic.
Way scenic.
Yeah. And yeah, but ultimately, sure, it'll get you where you need to go. And yes, it's messy.
Yes. It's never straightforward.
No, folk magic to me always seems like you're going to get dirty.
Yeah.
You are. Something's going to get on you.
All right.
Your hands are going to be dirty. Your clothes are going to be dirty. Like there's some component of it.
Where you will be covered in mud.
Yeah.
If not from head to toe.
No.
At
something.
Least something.
Just something. You're going to have a moment where you go, ugh. Like I need to wash this off me.
You got to wear it for how long?
And then, you know, there are other elements of folk magic that people are adopting in modern time in a very interesting way.
Interesting? What do you mean?
Well, you know, it used to be, wear the blue star on thy brow when trouble is a now.
Yes.
Right. So back in the day, what would we do?
They actually wore the blue star.
Right. But it was with things like paint.
Yes.
Woad. You know, in modern times, it was blue eyeliner.
Yeah.
Now people are getting it permanently tattooed to their forehead.
Okay, they have tattooed pins.
Mm-hmm.
They fade. You just...
Yes. Stick and poke.
Stick and poke. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting back going, oh, this is great. Just write sigils on your arms, and as the ink fades, so does the spell.
Yeah. But some people, like I said, they're going a little further than that. And the thing that I think is also interesting is some of the charm of folk magic is the fact that it was done in secrecy. Some of what makes folk magic work is the secrecy. When you are on TikTok filming your folk magic for other people to see, you have just ignored one of the main principles of magic.
No. I listen to a woman on video who does this. She goes, so what I will do is I will cast a spell
mm-hmm.
and wait for the outcome. Then I'll show it to everybody.
Mm. Okay.
So, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I can cast a spell and then go around the world. I can also cast a spell that can go onto the astral and go back in time and still fuck with your spell.
Mm-hmm.
If I so desire.
Mm-hmm.
So doing it here or there, what's the difference?
Right.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you videotaping your spells at all? And how in the world are you videotaping your spells and your video camera not dying?
Well... Yeah, we don't know some of the other ramifications of doing this, but at least on its surface, I mean, come on, when you went to the village witch and she looked at you and said, take this thing, do these actions, and don't tell a soul.
You don't tell a soul.
That is part of the process. There is something to that, and we are in danger of losing that element. I mean, the witch's pyramid, folks.
It works.
Right. There is a reason why secrecy is still such a big part of things. And others are going, well, but we have to speak it into existence. Do you?
Really?
Manifestation can happen in a lot of different ways. I don't think it's necessary for everyone to know everything
you're doing.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
Some things should be kept private.
Yeah. Again, I blame social media. I mean, this is the problem, right? Everybody's got to show what they had for breakfast this morning. Like, nobody cares, first of all.
I remember when we first started seeing commercials for Twitter when it first came out, and it was, Dad, quit texting me. I know you're on the porch.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that's what it was going to be, but now it's turned into this.
Yeah, everything is oversharing.
And I don't even start me on witch talk.
Or Wikipedia, my personal favorite.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia. Because it exists. It's a thing.
Is it a thing? I've seen that.
Oh, it's pretty funny. It's adorable. I mean, I give credit to whoever built it because it's brilliant. I mean, the name is like they nail on the head. Like, come on. But yeah,
I think there's aspects of folklore that people are just automatically assuming and not sitting there going, well, wait a minute. Are we sure?
Well, and here's the other thing. It's time to start asking because... The people that knew about it ain't getting any younger. And if we as modern pagans assume the reason why our grandmother, grandfather, aunt, whomever did that particular thing, we're in danger of losing the information. We're in danger of losing something that might be critical.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing we've been preaching about. That's the ends of the roast.
Yeah, I know. I always think of that story. Cutting off the ends of the roast. That's just fit in the pan.
Fit in the pan.
But yeah, if we don't ask, we don't know. And that's where a lot of herbalism gets lost. A lot of traditional medicines get lost.
Well, I'm mad at myself because I was too young and the generation my family was coming out of the farming.
Mm.
So there was a lot I didn't learn. And now as an older man, I'm having to relearn oh my God, what was that? I know there was something.
Yep. What did we used to put in the hole when what we buried this particular plant to help fertilize it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can kick myself because.
I know it. I know it's same. I don't know too many people that aren't guilty of that. We want to do differently than our parents, and then we cycle back. And then we end up going, God, I can't remember this, that, or the other.
What was I thinking about, you know?
One of my favorite things is, you know, those books that are like, Mom, tell me your life story, or Dad, tell me all about you, you know, and they're really cool because basically you give it to, you know, somebody, let's say over the age of 60, and it's a prompted process for them to reveal stories from their life or information or things that they want to pass down. Brilliant, lovely concept. I want somebody to make that book specifically for pagans. So it's basically like a prompted book of shadows for people who never wrote it down to begin with, for folklorists. So you can go, here, tell me about this or that. And the book kind of guides the process, and they write it in. Yeah. And they just fill in the blanks.
That way we can get a little bit more of that local folklore. Yep,
absolutely. Because ultimately, these are not people who had books of shadows. They were not even practitioners of our faith. If you ask them, they're a completely different religion.
Yeah.
But yet, they'll tell you all sorts of, you know, crazy ways to make your roses bloom three times bigger than anybody in the neighborhood, you know, because you sprinkle cinnamon on them or something. That's stupid. I don't know. Whatever it is.
No, I've seen them Southern ladies with the recipes for the, they vicious.
it's wild. It really is. It's wild. And yes, it's the same way. There's a coveted recipe, right?
Right.
In somebody's family that you're like, I'm going to get that recipe. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get them to, because they don't want to part ways with it, because guess what? You're not ready yet. And you will, you know, in their mind, they're like, oh my God, you're going to make a mockery of my recipe. You know, you're not going to do it right. But then the person who gets it, right? The person in the family who's like, I got it. I have Aunt Jenny's pumpkin pie recipe, right? It's like a big celebration. But we should be treating folklore the same way. We should be trying to get that recipe
right
before it disappears. That's my take on it. But don't mistake it for craft, because it's not. It's a separate thing.
Yes.
There may be elements, sure, but folk magic is its own animal. It's a lovely animal.
Yes, it moves its own way. And
And every culture has it. That's what's wild. Every single one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I would say there's more folk magic in the world collectively than any other type.
Yeah, because I love the contradictions where in this folklore, you do this, it gets rid of something. But if in this one you do it, you get it.
Yes.
And you're like, and both sides are like, oh, no, it works.
What I find funny is, are they on opposite ends of the planet where the polarities are switched? Because then it would make sense.
That's probably true.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be funny? All right. Is it time for more coffee?
Yes, it's time for more coffee.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.